about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program here. This is my last opportunity to tell you about the Send. If you don't have a ticket by now, you probably aren't going to get one unless you know a friend that has one and is not. You can see about getting that from them. But if you are interested in finding out everything that's going on with the Send tomorrow over at Camping World Stadium, you can log on to it. I believe they are live streaming it, and go to thesend.org, and you can find out about that information. But if you would, please pray for good weather, because that is an outdoor venue, and they don't let you take in umbrellas or anything like that. So I believe you have to take in a clear bag. You can't even take in like your normal purse or anything like that. I believe those are Camping World Stadium issues, not just a Send issue. But that's coming up. We're excited about what God is doing in Brevard County. Merit Assembly of God wants to be a part of everything that God is doing. And part of that is this radio program. So we're thankful that you have tuned in today on WMIE or WW, whichever one you may be listening to. Do want to take just a moment to say thank you to the fine folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, give them a call, and they will come out and get you fixed up and taken care of. Their services are got decades of experience. And so they will get the job done. They will get it done right. And so 321-536-5804. Give them a call. Do call them several weeks in advance so that you can get on board with that. Tell Greg you heard about them on the Refresh radio program, and that would be greatly appreciated. So lots of construction going on, renovation that's going on throughout the county, and so you don't want to wait till the last minute for that. So today we're going to go back to the Word of God. I'll let you know I am preaching Sunday morning and Sunday night this coming Sunday. And, you know, 2 weeks ago I did an unusual thing on Sunday night. I was preaching on fellowship, and our church happens to be very close to a Dairy Queen. And as I was preaching, I just said, you know what? Let's not just talk about fellowship. Let's have fellowship. And so I offered to treat everybody that was there that night who wanted to go. Not everybody wanted to or was able to go, but I said, if you want to go to Dairy Queen, it's my treat. Wasn't the church's treat. It was my treat. And, you know, that one little activity, which I mean, we've done when there was one or two people before, but people really got excited about that. We met some missionaries from Overland Missions that happened to be at Dairy Queen the same time that we were. And I believe that church should not just be about going and hearing a sermon or hearing a lesson or singing a song or giving an offering. We are probably one of the most unusual churches that you will ever find, in that we only have basically one offering a week. There are people who give throughout the week. We have electronic giving that is available. If you want to make a donation, you can go on to the website, meritassembly.com, and there's an online donation button that is available there. You can make a donation to the Refresh radio program. Just write Refresh in there. There's a memo line in there, and we do pay attention to those memo lines. We have an online that's giving. We have availability for people to give, but there's only one service a week for those people who think, well, the church is just all about money. we want to invest in people. And so we are thankful God has taken us financially above and beyond any place we've ever been before. And for that, we're very thankful. We have wonderful, wonderful givers. So I don't want you to think anything different about that. We're just blessed. So if you'd like to come out and visit us Sunday morning, 10:30 of a morning, Sunday night, 6:30, we would love to share the word of God with you. This week I'll be preaching on the church as God's spiritual hospital once again, as we're working through that series. And then on Sunday night, I am going to be preaching on vision, spiritual vision, God's vision and plan for our lives. So that's what I'm going to be preaching on this Sunday night. Let's get to the word of God today. We're going through the Bible, looking at God's leadership and how important that is. If we don't know how God leads us, then we're never really going to know if God is leading us or not. And there are a lot of different things that have the Word of God says about God's leadership. He leads us for His namesake. He leads us continually. So we're going to return to Psalm 73 today, Psalm 73. And I'm going to begin reading in verse number 23. It's where we ended up yesterday. Psalm 73:23. And I'm going to read through verse number 28, the end of the chapter. It says, "Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold me by my right hand. You will guide me with your counsel and afterward receive me to your glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." That's where we're going to end up reading today. I didn't go through the end of the chapter, like I said. But God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. So here, and remember, we're talking about a psalm of Asaph here, where his foot had almost slipped because he looked around at the prosperity of the wicked, the health of the wicked, and it seemed as if their condition was better than that of the righteous. And it was a problem for him. It wasn't until he came into the house of the Lord that God gave him eternal perspective and began to understand that what things look like right now may not be what they look like forever and ever. Amen. Now, we're not here to wish ill on anybody. I pray for a spirit of repentance, but I will tell you this. If we do not come to God with a open, humble, and teachable spirit, if we don't come before Him tenderhearted, we're not going to receive what He has for us. We can't be selective in our hearing. I've got a friend, and he says, you never allow someone to speak into life, you're going to be trapped with your own thoughts. So, like I've described to you on the radio program here before, is when I begin to teach a subject, I don't go into it with just my own preconceived ideas. I'm going into it and says, what does the Bible have to say about this subject? And it's amazing what God, I'm learning things about leadership here as I'm teaching this series here on the radio. So Asaph begins to describe how God leads him. First of all, he leads Asaph because Asaph has committed himself to being continually with God. Do not forsake fellowship with God. Whatever you do, that's the most important relationship. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. And we've got to remember to keep God as the top priority in our life. If we do that, we're going to begin to have God's heartbeat. Have you ever been around couples that they came from different families, but because they have been married for so long, they just fit. You know what the other person is thinking before they ever say it. You know what they're going to do before they even do it, because you have spent so much time together. And that's what can happen with us in God, is the more time that we spend with Him, the more of His heartbeat we're going to have, the more of His vision for broken and hurting people we're going to have. We need to have God as that priority. Our community needs us to spend time with God. They don't need to see our flesh. They need to see the fruit of the Spirit inside of us. And that's the reality. And so if you struggle with manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, that's basically an indication. I tell you, that's what I use as a barometer in my life. If people begin to get on my nerves and I'm in the people business, what that's telling me is not that there's a problem with people. Sinners are going to be sinners. It tells me that I need to spend time with Jesus, because God's always going to be God. And I want Him to function in my life to such an extent that I can minister to broken and hurting people out of the overflow of my relationship with God. Asaph says, this is not a hit and miss relationship for me. This is not a relationship of convenience. This is a relationship of covenant and commitment. So that's what he did. He said, in spite of everything that's going on with other people, I'm going to spend continual time with God. And he says, and God, you hold me by my right hand. This goes back to that vision of leadership that we see from the Lord's Prayer, where we realize that God leads us as a father. Now, I can tell you from trying to take young ones on walks that they do not really care for the reality of having to hold someone's hand. They don't like that restraint. They want that freedom to run and get ahead and fall behind and get distracted and all that sort of stuff. But what about those people who are really enjoying their journey together through life? I guarantee you, parents are much more excited about holding the hands of their kids than their kids are about holding the hand of their parent as they're going for a walk. But God has us in His hand. He has a grip on us, and we know that He's never going to lead us astray. There's a Facebook meme that shows up every once in a while, and it says something like that: real men will see what is wrong with this picture. And it's a picture of a couple walking down the street, and they're holding hands, but the lady is the one that is closest to the traffic flow. And so she's the first one that is susceptible to danger. And you know, the point that the person that posted that make, and you need to get your wife to where you're her fortress. Well, I want you to know God is your protector. God is your protector, and He has, in every sense of the word, positioned Himself between you and all of the attacks of the enemy. Jesus came to destroy not just Satan, but to destroy all the works of the enemy. He has given us the shield of faith to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. And so as God is guiding us, He does it continually, and He does it because we're in close proximity to one another. He's got us by the hand. It says, you will guide me with your counsel. So there's a couple of things that I'm going to be sharing that are coming up in the days ahead. And I just wrote little jovial note down there on one of them. It says, oh boy, this could get messy here. And so we'll talk about that in the coming days. But this one right here in Psalm 73 says that God is not going to guide us by feelings. He's not going to guide us just by finances. He guides us by his counsel. And I will remind you that God's ways are higher than man's ways. His thoughts are higher than man's thoughts. So that means he's going to have to bring us up to the place that we can understand his wisdom. God doesn't need counselors. I tell people about a funeral that I heard about here within the past year or two, where the wife said, well, now that this person has gone to heaven, I'm sure he's giving God a lecture and telling him how heaven should actually be run. It's like, if that's his mindset, then he's not in heaven. God doesn't need counselors. God doesn't need wisdom. In fact, through my years of walking with him, any time that I've tried to tell God exactly how something had to play out, God, in his creative ability, shows me that he's got an entirely different plan altogether. I need God's counsel. He doesn't need mine. And so if you want God to guide you, then you need to spend some time and sit at his feet and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And that counsel, it'll be timeless. It'll be blessed. It will be wise. It'll be instructive. It'll be something that you can pass on to other people. And so I'm very thankful. You know, there's godly counsel that comes a couple of different ways. One is you can get counsel from God through your prayer time, and we're very thankful for that. You can also get counsel from God through the people that you have relationship with, because some of them may have already walked through the season or the relationship that you're getting ready to walk in. And so I just encourage you, make yourself available, not only to receive counsel, but to pass on the counsel that God has given to you. It's very important that we pay attention. So when I came to Merit Assembly of God, the year before I even discovered the church existed, I did not know Merit Assembly of God existed until the district asked me to come and be the pastor. I'd never heard of it, never seen it, didn't know anything at all about the church, but for the entire year before I became the pastor, God kept laying 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10 on my heart. In the New King James, it says this, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the version that the devotional was written in that kept bringing this up says, and may the God of all glory himself come and pick you up and place you where he wants you, and cause you to be established and prosper after you have suffered a little while. To God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so when the opportunity came for us to become the pastors of Merit Assembly of God, I was getting ready to say, well, let me pray about it. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me and he said, you don't have to pray about this. I have been counseling you. I have been telling you that this was coming for a long time. And so there, when God has given you his counsel, there's no need to pray about it anymore. It's time to act upon that counsel. Some of you, it's been confirmed over and over and over again. And like Gideon, if you look at Gideon back in the book of Judges, in spite of everything that God had done, He still needed one more sign. He still needed one more evidence. And then when he got that, he said, okay, now I'm ready. Now I'm on board. Are you ready to act upon the counsel of God's word? Because it is not just about talk. A lot of Christians believe it is just a philosophy or just a lifestyle that you kind of embrace mentally, but it's an action. It is a life action plan when God gives you counsel. So, back to 1 Peter chapter 5. So we moved to the church, somebody asked, my wife said, how long do you think you'll be in this current situation? And they had been in a situation where they ended up living someplace that they thought was just going to be temporary, and they ended up living there for 5 years. And my wife said, I don't think we're going to be in this situation very long. I believe God's going to grow the church, and things are going to take off, and we'll be able to get and mind you, we were coming to this church without a salary. And so we thought, you know, God's going to provide. And this pastor's wife gave a word of encouragement and said, you know, that's where we were. And it took us 5 years. Well, it didn't take us 5 years. It took us almost seven years that we lived in those conditions. And the conditions got better as we went along, as we continued to, make improvements to the facilities and all. Changing windows helped. That was a good thing, getting the windows replaced. But it was a person that we knew, and they walked with God, and they said, you know, you might want to be prepared in case God's time table is a little different than yours. And so several years in, I think we were in our third or fourth year of pastoring the church. And I was like, God, I don't know what's going on. And he said, well, you need to go back and read 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 10. And I could quote it to him and all that. And he said, well, you're overlooking something. And there was in there a little clause in the sentence that said, after you have suffered a while. And I had overlooked that one. I had gone straight to the perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. I'd gone to the establish and the prosper you. I'd gone all to that, and I had missed the fact that there was going to be a season of that was going to be a bit uncomfortable. And so when God shared that, I embraced the counsel of God once again. I pushed through the hardship. I said, you know what? I'm not going to let the devil discourage me and bring me to a place of defeat. And so today, if I can give you just a word of wisdom, and that is, hear from heaven. If you're confused, come to God and say, God, I need you to help me to understand this plan of yours, because I want to embrace it. And once you've embraced it, commit to it. Don't let it go. I can tell you that just as that word, let me turn back there again. I took my finger out of that page. Just as the suffering a little while part was true, I can tell you that the establishing, the perfecting, the strengthening, and the prospering has also come to pass. The word of God is true. The counsel of God is sound. Embrace it. Don't run from it. And don't let the devil talk you out of it like he did Eve. It says, and afterward, receive me to glory. This is where I'm going to end up today. And that is that God's guidance is not always about making us feel better. God's guidance has got the ultimate goal of receiving you and I into his glorious presence. Heaven is going to be a marvelous, marvelous place. Don't let the things that you see discourage you. Don't let the words, the disparaging words that others may have to say, don't take those things to heart. Take the counsel of God to heart and say, God, you're my guide. You're the one I'm going to spend time with. You're the one that has me by the right hand. You're going to be the one that guides me. You're going to guide me with your counsel. And the ultimate destination that you have in mind for me is to be received into your glory. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of my rest. There are a lot of us that have embraced the work aspect, and ministry is work. It's called the work of the ministry in the scriptures. But please do not think that it's the work of the ministry that's the ultimate goal. Please do not think a task is the ultimate direction that God has for your life. His glorious presence, spending eternity with him, that's the prize. Jesus said, I am your exceeding, God said, I am your exceeding great reward. That's what he told to Abraham. But Jesus is the prize. Spending eternity with him, that's our reward. You know, that's why when you read Revelation and you find people with crowns on their heads, crowns that could have only have been placed there by God, that when they come into the presence of God, they lay those crowns at his feet and say, you are the one who is worthy. So with that being said, if glory is the goal of God leading us personally and continually and taking us by the right hand and leading us with his counsel, guess what the destination is if we embrace the devil's counsel, the philosophy of the world? And I will tell you this, that God's wisdom makes the world's wisdom look like folly, look like foolishness. There are too many people that are reaching for the foolish things of the world, and it doesn't have any eternal reward to it at all. What does it gain? What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and yet loses his own soul? Don't follow the counsels of this world. Follow the counsels of God, because he wants to spend a glorious eternity with you. God bless you. Let's pray and have a great weekend and come back Monday ready and refreshed. See you next time.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.